From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This week, California marked its 175th anniversary of statehood with Governor Gavin Newsom's State of the State address. Typically, this annual tradition, the State of the State, happens at the start of the year and is delivered live, but this year's months-delayed address was a taped video released online and is one of Newsom's last as governor. He terms out next year. At the same time, attention is shifting to who might replace him. On Monday, eight candidates for governor took the stage at Sacramento State for a forum that gave hopefuls an opportunity to attract voters. Joining us to break down the governor's address and the early dynamics of the 2026 gubernatorial race is CAP Radio politics editor Chris Nichols. Chris, welcome back to Insight. Hey.
Thanks, Vicky. It's great to be here.
Okay, so the State of the State is where the governor outlines their priorities for the year. This address happened in September. Why the delay and how unusual is this?
Well, it was very unusual. In fact, it's the latest point in the year that the State of the State address has ever been delivered. That's according to the State Library. Newsom was scheduled to deliver this address in January, but that was canceled when he instead attended former President Jimmy Carter's memorial service. And by delivering the address yesterday, it's also the first time it's coincided with California's anniversary of becoming a state.
Okay, well, this memorial was back in January. It was before President Trump's inauguration. This address is in September, so that's, what, 9 months? Was there any explanation as to why the State of the State took so long?
Right. It has been a while, and there wasn't much explanation, but we know that Newsom was very involved in the state's response to the LA wildfires in January, and he's continuing to work on the response to that disaster. And then Newsom has also emerged, as we know, as a leading critic of President Donald Trump, and that certainly has taken up a lot of his time.
Yeah. So this address this year was a video message released online. What was the big message and takeaway?
There were several themes, but the biggest one is Newsom's framing of California pushing back against the Trump administration and its policies. I'll read the first part of the letter. Newsom says, quote, "As I write to you, California is menaced by a federal administration that dismantles public services, punishes allies across the globe, and sweeps the rule of law into the gutter," end quote. So the address does that, but it also highlights California's economic achievements and its aggressive response to the wildfires. But the theme that, again, really dominates throughout Newsom's letter is the threat the governor sees in the federal government. Newsom also released that pre-produced video that you mentioned to accompany his letter. That video has some music and some sound effects, and it's similar to what he sent to lawmakers.
We have established ourselves as giants in industry and manufacturing, forestry, farming, science, technology, artificial intelligence, in biotech, quantum computing, and education, all while reaffirming our role as defenders of our values. Today, as I present the State of the State letter to the California legislature, admittedly, we are in darker times. Our country increasingly is at a crossroads with a federal administration that threatens the very foundation of our democracy. But there's hope. There's reason to be optimistic. On this anniversary, so many people in California are exerting their moral authority and raising their voices to stand up for the ideals this country was built on, our state was built on. That's California.
Okay, so he did outline some successes of the state, but really the anchor of this address was California's contrast or maybe even adversarial role to the Trump administration,
exactly.
National lens. So since delivering a letter and this pre-recorded video, it's a break from recent tradition where governors typically deliver the State of the State address inside the state capitol in front of lawmakers. What kind of response did Newsom get for not being there in person?
Well, he certainly has his share of critics, and Republican Assembly Leader James Gallagher had some pretty harsh reaction. He says he believes the governor was trying to avoid his critics. Here's Gallagher.
I guess he's too afraid to come and actually talk about what the State of the State actually is, like the fact that we're broke, that we're running huge deficits. But we've just spent money on a new special election, $250 million, but he didn't have enough money to fully fund Prop 36 and keep you safe from criminals on our streets. Well, quite frankly, we've had enough. And I think this legislature should finally stand up for itself. and say, no more, Governor. We actually need to solve problems, and we need someone who's actually going to work for the best interests of Californians. And stop the insults. Stop refusing to show up and actually do the work of being a governor. Otherwise, get out.
Okay, so harsh words, but also expected from the Republican Assembly leader, Gallagher. When it comes to delivering the State of the State address, is it typically done in person? I know that's recent tradition, but we also just marked California's 175th anniversary of statehood.
Right. It's recent tradition, but it's not always been done that way. Cap Radio spoke with Alex Vassar with the California State Library. He told us the address wasn't always a speech. In fact, until the 1960s, it was a printed report delivered to the legislature that only occasionally received news coverage. Vassar says that Governor Pat Brown first delivered it as a speech in 1963. Since then, governors have typically delivered it in January inside the Capitol, but with some exceptions.
Okay, so this one's kind of like a throwback.
Exactly.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio politics editor Chris Nichols. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit from California's current governor to the candidates running to be his successor in 2026 when Newsom is termed out. A forum was held on Monday at Sacramento State. Many of the top Democrats and Republicans in the field attended. So tell us about this event. Which candidates actually showed up on Monday?
Okay, so we know, you know, this is not something voters are going to decide on this year. The race goes until November of next year. But there was still a good showing at this event. Top Democrats in attendance included former Congresswoman Katie Porter, current state schools chief Tony Thurman, former state controller Betty Yee, and former L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. However, state Senate leader Tony Atkins did not attend. The Republican candidates included political commentator Steve Hilton, Leo Zaki of the Zaki farming family, but Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco was not in attendance.
Okay, so given that this election, as you mentioned, is still more than a year out, we actually have a special election this November on Prop 50. Why should people care about this race now?
Well, California's governor is our top elected official in state government. He or she sets the policy agenda that affects about 40 million people. And as we've seen with governors past and present, there's often a national spotlight on the work they do. And the office can be a launching pad for higher office.
Okay, so who's ahead in the polls?
So right now, Katie Porter, at least according to a poll from last month, Katie Porter had a small lead. That's according to a UC Berkeley poll. She was at 17% when voters were asked for their first choice. Chad Bianco, the Riverside County Sheriff, he was in second place at 10%. And it's important to note that about 40% of voters said they were undecided at this point.
Okay, so let's get into the event itself. I mean, the campaigns are really going to pick up next year, but what was the atmosphere like at Sac State?
So the atmosphere was not exactly a rock show, let's say. It was just pretty subdued. It was held in a large ballroom. Those in the audience were seated at tables eating lunch. Even though it was at a university, there weren't many college students there. Candidates did not interact with each other. That would have been pretty interesting. But instead, they each had their own individual time on stage to answer one question from a moderator.
Okay, so this is more like a simmer to a boil when it comes to the gubernatorial race. So before we get to what the candidate said, who organized this forum?
It was organized by the Asian Pacific American Public Affairs Group, and that organization describes itself as a national nonprofit committed to advancing the next generation of leaders.
Okay, well, we did have a presence there at Cap Radio. Our politics reporters, Laura Fitzgerald, Gerardo Zavala, were at the forum. They did speak with the candidates. What were some of the big themes that they heard?
Both Democrats and Republicans, they really zeroed in on affordability. They seem to all agree that California's cost of living is simply too high. But as we'll hear later, they had different ideas for how to solve that. Here is Katie Porter responding to Laura Fitzgerald's question about what Porter would do differently than recent Democratic governors.
Well, I think we really need to have a focus on how to attract people to this state, to see our population grow, particularly our population of young families, of entry-level workers. So I think we have a lot of great things going for us in California that both Governor Brown and Governor Newsom have put in place. But the question is, are we winning that competition to make California the place where people who want to start their careers, people who want to start their families, people who want to retire and leave other states, are they choosing California? Can they afford to choose California?
And Vicky, I thought her response was pretty interesting. You know, California's critics, they often point out that thousands of residents and businesses have left the state in recent years due to high costs. And the defense that you often hear from Governor Newsom and other top Democrats is something to the effect of, well, look what we still have. We have amazing things here. But Porter's comments are different. It seems like she's almost saying, how do we get those people back, or how do we make sure they don't leave in the first place?
So did she offer any solutions?
She did. She called for staying laser focused on building more housing, reducing the cost to do business in California, and pushing back on Trump administration policies such as tariffs. She pointed out, for example, that tariffs are making building materials more expensive here in the state.
Okay. And so Katie Porter is the current leading Democrat in this race. Of course, this is a very, very early race. But you also mentioned that Republican candidate and Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco did not attend. However, Steve Hilton is another high-profile GOP candidate. What did he focus on when it comes to affordability?
Well, Hilton really took aim at the cost of what he calls California's climate agenda. Here's what he told our reporter, Gerardo Zavala.
The biggest driver of high costs in California is the climate agenda that's being pushed for the last 15 years or so without any kind of common sense and taking into account the pain that it's causing for people in their everyday lives. So I'm going to start reversing that so we have common sense environmental policy that protects the environment, reduces carbon emissions, but without pushing up everyone's costs.
So along with reversing some of these climate policies, Hilton says he would focus on reducing the price of gasoline. California, as we know, has some of the highest gas prices in the nation. And Hilton also says he would try to reduce state income taxes, along with state regulations and fees that make it more difficult and expensive to build in California.
Another prominent Democrat running for governor is state school superintendent Tony Thurmond. What were some of his biggest focuses on what he would like to tackle as governor if elected? And did he have some ideas on how to address those issues?
So it's interesting because Hilton, who we just heard from, and Thurmond, who we're going to hear from, they both said they want to focus on working class and middle class Californians. That was actually something that united just about all the candidates. But Thurmond had his own set of solutions. Here's what he told us.
The first thing I'm going to do is give a tax credit to working people and middle class people who can't afford to pay gas, can't afford to pay housing, can't afford to pay for groceries. And we've got to take care of Californians right away. And they've been neglected. And so I'm going to make that a priority. And then I'm going to focus on the main issues of the day. We have to address homelessness and we have to address housing. And as we speak, I'm working on building 2 million housing units right now. There are a surplus property that schools own all across our state, every county in our state.
Okay. And this race is still early on, but it's already pretty packed with candidates and well-known candidates at that. However, of course, there are some lesser-known candidates running for governor. Did Cap Radio have a chance to speak with any of them?
They did. And, you know, I think it's always interesting, like, why is someone who really doesn't have name recognition, why would they go and run for California governor? It seems like a daunting task. But one example is Leo Zaki. He's a Republican candidate for governor. He's part of that Zaki Farms poultry family that we mentioned. But he's also worked as a lobbyist for the California Poultry Federation. His family name, it's well known, but Zaki himself, just not a household name. It's hard to see at this point him or anyone else really emerging in the race. But I do think some of these candidates who are maybe less tied to California's established political parties, they could provide a voice for Californians who are frustrated over just how polarized our political system has become. Some of that frustration was expressed by Zaki when he was asked about Prop 50. That's the November ballot measure that asked California voters to approve a new congressional map favoring Democrats. It's a response to redistricting efforts in Republican-led states like Texas. And Zaki called Prop 50 an abuse of power.
If you're going to put out a better policy, then that's what you should be doing to get the votes. This just shouldn't just be you're left, you're right, and we don't talk to each other. Look at the divide that's taking place in this country over this. This is ridiculous. And what are we? We're fighting for what? The red flag or the blue flag? This is stupid. Our economy is hurting. We should focus on policy that's going to make the quality of life better for everybody across the board.
Yeah, and all of the interview excerpts we heard, it is just the tip of the iceberg and the beginning of what will be a pretty competitive governor's race.
It should be. And, you know, our politics reporters, our newsroom will be covering that race for you.
All right, Chris, we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Vicky.
Up next, it's been a year since the self-governed encampment known as Camp Resolution was closed by the city of Sacramento. But the story of the camp and its residents lives on in a new documentary. We'll talk about the right to exist ahead of a screening tonight at Sacramento State. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.